The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare me something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink'? You may eat and drink when I have finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what he was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I feel this little story has something to speak about today's gospel. It's a story about a doctor who was enjoying himself at a cocktail party until a woman approached him for some free medical advice. He spent at least an hour listening to her complaints, and then he advised her what to do. By the time their conversation was finished, his mood was spoiled. He asked a lawyer friend of his at the same party if it would be unethical to send her a bill. The lawyer answered, "Not at all. You gave her the same advice here at this cocktail party as if she had come to your office. She should have to pay for it." The doctor thanked him and left. The next day, the doctor received a bill from the lawyer for legal advice. It's all about your attitude, really. Today we have a teaching from Jesus on the kind of attitude we need to assume as followers of his son. He used a very simple story about a man who had come in from the hard day's work. Jesus offered a humorous suggestion, asking us that if we were the master of the house, would we have our slaves sit down while we serve them food? The crowd listening to Jesus would have known the right answer straight away. Not because they owned slaves themselves, but because they were poor people. Some of them indeed could have been slaves. No master is going to serve his servants. He is going to expect that they take care of him and his needs, and he isn't going to gush over them and give them a huge tip. They can expect nothing, maybe not even a thank you. Jesus said that this was the way that we should look at our own service when we come before God. We should consider ourselves as servants, called to be obedient. When we do what we're supposed to do, we should not pat ourselves on the back or expect God to pat us and tell us how wonderful we are. We should instead respond, "We are just simple servants. We have done only what we ought to do." This attitude seems rude and is not what we might expect. There is no mention of a place in heaven or a big financial reward. Perhaps our only reward is not for doing what we have done, but for knowing what we know. In the early 1990s, the automaker Henry Ford asked an electrical genius called Charlie Steinmetz to build generators for his factory. One day, the generators stopped working, and the local mechanics could not get them to go again. So Ford called back Steinmetz, who tinkered with the machines for about half an hour and threw the switch, and straight away the generators worked. Flabbergasted, Henry Ford received a bill for $10,000 before the end of the week, and the tight-fisted car maker asked Steinmetz why the bill was so high. And he said, "For tinkering with the generators, the bill is $10. For knowing how to tinker with the machine, $9,990. It said that Ford paid the bill. Sadly, part of the human condition that affects many aspects of our lives can be a sense of entitlement. We've reached our own self-image goals, and now we're going to take advantage of it. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. I come here every week on Sunday, 5 o'clock, and of course this is my parking place. I've worked in the office now for 20 years. Of course I can bring home the office printer at the weekend to do my own project." Isn't there a great sense or a great desire to be promoted, to be judged special, so we can expect just that little bit more than everyone else around us? Today's gospel makes for difficult listening. We are merely servants. We have done no more than our duty. Yesterday, Father Dennis and myself were blessing animals in the gathering area. It was an echo of the previous feast day, St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis had a great desire to reform the church, to take care of the poor, and to take care of the natural world around us. When one Archbishop George Bergoglio left Buenos Aires in 2013 to attend a conclave in Rome, he didn't buy a one-way ticket. He had a return ticket in his pocket. He never thought at his age that he could become the new pope. He was too old. He had already been a runner-up at a previous conclave. But when he was elected in 2013, he was sure of the name that he wanted. Inspired by his attachment to the poor in Buenos Aires, his fears for the future of the earth, and his desire that the church move closer to its Christian values, he claimed his name proudly, Francis. Not everyone sees themselves as being merely servants. Even today in Rome, many have trouble with the behavior of Pope Francis. He was the only pope to take the name Francis of Assisi. Francis himself had lived a humble life of poverty. Pope Francis doesn't live in the fanciest part of the Vatican City. He eats with others, and he eats the same food that they do. He seems to have taken seriously the title Chief Servant of God's people. We're called to that same service. We're asked to love others and to love ourselves. Today's gospel isn't telling us about the nature of God, but about our attitude to his service. If we look to Jesus' teaching in the New Testament, Jesus was the one who led by example. He was the one who washed his disciples' feet. There was a quiet humility, a teaching that's very powerful. We are asked to not to humiliate ourselves, but to lift up the other. In times past, the scribes and Pharisees often mixed up and got confused by the words faith and service. Maybe the disciples did too. And so the parable of the servant, having come in from ploughing or tending sheep, expected to serve the master his meal. Just a question then. Why do you do good? And what motivates you? Do you do good things because of how it makes you feel? Do you do good because other people will reward you or think better of you? Do you do the right thing at work or in school because you risk being promoted? Somewhere in the thought process of choosing to do the right thing, there might be a sense that I could be rewarded for this. The Christian understanding of service is in conflict with the logic of commerce and self-interest that drives much of our culture today. This is why when the disciples started asking the Lord to increase their faith, he starts by telling them about service. It is in service that we truly understand the message of faith. Jesus declared he came to serve, not to be served, and he set before us a model to follow. Jesus did the right thing irrespective of reward or how it made him feel. His will focused always on the will of his Father in heaven. Today's gospel doesn't rubbish all the wonderful things we do for others, but it does challenge us to look at why we do it. If it is motivated by faith, that is wonderful. If it is motivated by our own self-interest, then maybe we've already had our reward. Lord, help us to serve you and not ourselves over the week ahead.